let us sing on small bhajan, Swamiji's bhajan, so that everybody can have a simple words. Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda, 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 Jai Govinda, 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 Nama Sankirtanam, Govinda, Hare Govinda. Okay, we are seeing important verse in third chapter, and then of course all the verses are important, but the section now we are seeing in third chapter is an important section, because they karma brahmodbhavam viddhi ब्रह्माक्षर समुद्भवम् तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितम् So these two verses are to be understood together. Annat bhavanti bhutani, all the beings come into existence from food. Parjanyad anna sambhavaha, the food is from the rains. And how do the rains come? The rains come from the punyam, which means the rains, we get the rains as a translation of punyam. We accumulate, we acquire through a life of worship by living a life of karma yoga. I'm sure nobody will ask me here what is living a life of karma yoga. Already explained that to you. Now the question comes. So karma, yajnyat bhavati parjanyaha, yajnyaha karma samudbhavaha. How do we accumulate, how do we acquire punyam? Through the performance of karma as worship. Through the act of worshipping. Yajnaha karma samudbhavaha. Means yajna, the punyam. Here the word yajnaha, the implied meaning of the word yajnaha is punyam. The punyam, how do you, the punyam required for having the ecological balance, the universal harmony by which we get rains, is through the performance of action as yoga with the proper attitude, and the performance of action in conformity with the universal values, the dharma, by living a life of dharma which does not violate the universal law and order, and also through an act of offering, which is an expression of our gratitude to Bhagavan. This much you have to understand. This is how we acquire punyam. Yajnaha karma samudbhavaha. There's no way of earning, acquiring punyam, you know, which alone can help you tap Bhagavan's grace, without living a life of karma yoga. So it is the karma. Okay. Where is the karma? Where does the karma come from? Which means, how do you know? How do you know how to perform rituals? How do you know how to live a life of dharma? Now, how do you understand? Where do you get it from? So, where is the karma? Isn't it? So, living a life of karma yoga, where do you get it from? The knowledge. Karma brahma samudbhavaha. So, brahma samudbhavam. Karma brahma udbhavam. Karma brahma udbhavam viddhi. Here the word brahma means vedaha. Please understand, the word Brahma means limitless reality. That's okay. The absolute reality is also implied by the term Brahma. The Veda Shastram, the scripture, Vedic scripture, which serves as a means of knowledge of the reality, is also meant by the term Brahma. Here, Vedaha. So, the know-how of performance of rituals and the way of life, the Karma Yoga, that is from, where is it instructed? In the manual of life called Vedaha. when you buy any product from a manufacturer, how you get the manual to how to fix it, how to make use of it, when something goes wrong with it, how to correct it, everything you get. And here, you know the way of life, the way of life called Karma Yoga, and which is to be followed by life of the pursuit of knowledge called Jnana Yoga, and which will make this life a complete, meaningful, successful one. And to know the whole way of the Sanatana Dharma, the manual is what? Veda Shastram. Therefore, Veda Karma Brahma Udbhavam. The way of life, you know, is revealed where? In the Veda Shastram. Karma Brahma Udbhavam is from the Veda. Now the question comes, where has this Veda Shastram come from? The way of life, you understand from Shastram and you live. That is fine. Where has this Veda come from? Brahmakshara Samudbhavam. This Brahma, this Veda Shastram, Akshara Samudbhavam. Akshara Brahma, Aksharam Brahma, Brahma Akshara Samudbhavam is from Bhagavan Paramatma, which means Veda Shastram is a perennially eternal, a timeless scripture. Every time there is a manifestation of universe, there is manifestation of Veda Shastram, which the teaching of which has been flowing downwards through an unbroken lineage of teachers. Still it is preserved. That is why the secret is Veda Shastram has always been in the form of knowledge, you know, thoughts in the mind of the teachers. And again it was taught only through Mukham, through oral tradition. It was given, used to come from the teacher's head to the student's head, through the words, through communication. Again, the knowledge which is transferred from the teacher's mind to the student's mind through the communication, through the means of the words, again, the knowledge does not diminish, isn't it? No knowledge diminishes anyway. The knowledge comes and again is in the form of thoughts in the mind of a student. That is why mind cannot be destroyed, isn't it? That is why the secret is why Vedic the culture and the Vedic the Shastram, the tradition, everything survives in spite of all the onslaughts, in spite of all the problems. Why? Because the secret is it has been always through oral tradition. Not from books. No, books mean you can burn the books. You can, you know, even manuscripts you can destroy. But minds, nobody can do anything. Minds are indestructible. If a knowledge remains where now? Suppose somebody, the person who has the vision, who has wisdom, who is the more of knowledge, the knowledgeable person, if he is killed also, the mind survives, the mind will come back, assuming another body, and again knowledge will become manifest. Isn't it? That is the secret. Understand how for us knowledge is indestructible. Any knowledge is indestructible. Nothing is destructible here. Knowledge definitely is not destructible. And Veda Shastram, because it has been maintained through oral tradition and from timeless, from time immemorial, therefore it's a timeless, perennially eternal wisdom. That is why we never question, when did the Veda begin? Rishi Moolam, Nadi Moolam, we never ask, because it is a perennially eternal flow of wisdom. This Veda Shastram, isn't it? So this, from this Veda alone, Karma Akshara Brahma Samudbhavam. So Karma is Brahma Udbhavam. Karma we understand through, the way of life we understand from Veda. And this Veda has come into existence from Sakshat Bhagavan. So Brahma Akshara Samudbhavam. Aksharam is Bhagavan, reality. It is from Bhagavan himself. Therefore, Brahma Akshara Samudbhavam, therefore, Tasmat Sarvagatam Brahma. Therefore, because it's a perennially eternal, timeless wisdom, Shastram, and this is, it is from When you say anything perennially eternal, we say always it is from Bhagavan. Bhagavan means you understand the reality with the power, isn't it? The almighty, powerful is Paramatma. That is why what is that Paramatma? What is that powerful, almighty Ishwaraha, Bhagavan? When you want to know, then you are a spiritual person. And when you understand, you can understand that as what? As the truth of your own Swarupam. Then the question goes. Then you understand how the Shastram has come into existence from Bhagavan. Understand? Therefore, here, therefore what happens? Sarvagatam Brahma, the Veda is prevalent everywhere. Shastram is there, all pervasive. Brahma Sarvagata means Veda is the Veda Shastram, the way of life. Now, the Veda is all pervasive. Shastram is all pervasive. How it is all pervasive? Now, Sarvagatam Brahma. How do we know that? The Veda is all pervasive. How do we know? Sarvam Yajne Pratishthitam. This Veda Shastram, it remains established in Yajna. What does it mean? Veda remains established in Yajna means Veda is prevalent, Veda survives, Veda Shastra is all pervasive through the Yajna. What does it mean here? Wherever you see Dharma, wherever you see righteousness, wherever you see ethical life, wherever you see righteous life, wherever you see the life of Karma Yoga, wherever you see worshipful life, wherever you see Dharma Anushtanam, and wherever you see prosperity, wherever you see, there is Bhagavan, the Veda is in the form of Yajna. Yajna Pratishthita means, where is Veda? Veda is in the form of the expression of the lifestyle lived by the people. Understand? Veda is expressed where? The Vedic vision is expressed. The Vedic wisdom, the Vedic knowledge, isn't it? Is expressed in the form of where is it living? How do you see the Veda living? It is in the form of the lifestyles followed by people. If people are living a life Karma Yoga, that is what? Expression of Veda. That's why Nityam Yajne Pratishthitam. So Veda ever remains installed, established where? In the form of, in the form of Yajna, form of way of life, the lives of people. Is it clear? Therefore, this is what the cycle here. It represents the whole cycle for you. We have to understand here. So we live a life of Karma Yoga. That means that is how Veda, we live a life of Karma Yoga with the Purushartha Nischaya, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge as spiritual person, as real devotee. Ultimately aiming at moksha in the form of jnanam, and relatively aiming at mental purity and steadiness, will live a life of Karma Yoga, which is a dharma governed life. That is what? That is how Veda lives. That's what Nityam Yajne Pratishthita means. The Veda is expressed, Veda is found in the form of lifestyle, the way of life followed by people. Hope you are all getting it. Thereby what happens? You get what? Now, again, this comes, everything follows. This is the cycle. This is how, when we live this is a chakram. When we follow this, understand this chakram, which means what? Therefore, it comes from there. Again, you live life of dharma. Then you get rains. Then you get food. From food, you are there. Again, it follows. It is the cycle. Hope you understand the cycle here. If we live, then definitely there will be what? Relative, no? Then there is a life lived which is, there will be a harmonious living. There is an inner harmony, you contribute for the external universal harmony also. internally, if you are a split personality, definitely you are disturbed, you will be disturbed, and being disturbed, you will be disturbing the stillness obtaining in the form of the universal law and order. Is it? The disturbed disturbs. If you are not disturbed, and you will not be contributing for the disturbance also. This is what is taught here. Therefore, here Krishna presents the Karma Yoga as the universal law and order. How Karma Yoga contributes for the maintenance of the universal harmony through the maintenance of the universal, through the contribution for maintaining for the life which does not disturb the universal law and order. Is it clear? So with this is how the four different angles Karma Yoga is presented by Krishna in these verses. Evam pravartitam chakram nanovartayatihayah aghayurindriya ramo mogham partha sajivati. Therefore, it is very important to live a life of Karma Yoga in order to contribute for universal harmony, in order not to violate the universal harmony, in order to live a life in harmony with the universal law and order. That's the teaching. Which means you are following this cycle. There's no disturbance, isn't it? Why? Because, as I told you yesterday also, our lives are interconnected. Our lives are connected to the living beings, non-living things, every life is a significant life. Everything that is here is divine. Nothing is taken for granted here. Nothing is taken here for granted. For a person who lives a Vedic way of life, every life is as significant as your life. An ant's life, a mosquito's life, a cockroach's life, I tell you, every small thing is very significant. If it harms your life, you have all the right to defend yourself, protect yourself. Then it's okay. Otherwise, you have no right to destroy anything, because every life is as significant as your life. Everything in this world is also what? Very important, significant. It has its own significance. Therefore, everything is divine here. Everything is revered here. That is why there is certain attitude in India. The people who live this, no, not the people, in India generally, the life to be followed is a Vedic way of life. And those who are given to this Vedic way of life, they have great reverence. There's a certain attitude towards all the trees, the plants, the other living beings, even the non-living things such as even the rivers, the oceans, everything. There's a certain attitude towards everything. Reverence for everything. There's a great reverence for everything. That is why nothing is just pushed aside using your leg. People don't really just simple, nothing, they want to push something, they will never use their foot. They'll bend and use the hand and they take it and throw it away. Why? Because there's reverence. Respect for everything. Because everything is a manifestation of divinity here. Which means, everything is part of the whole. everything is interconnected, everything is connected to everything. Therefore, my life, you know, is part of my this individual life, being part of the life of everything here, the existence of everything here. There is a need for me to remain connected, to see that as an individual, as a human being, I alone am blessed with this willpower and the knowledge of, you know, right and wrong. The buddhi, knowledge of right and wrong, and the will to use the buddhi to not to go against the against that knowledge of right and wrong. No other animal here. That is why animals, even they never violate dharma, universal order. Really speaking, animals or other living beings, no animal, no creature here can harm or disturb the universal harmony. We are the people, okay? Only human beings can either protect the universal harmony, we can really disturb the harmony, or we can maintain the harmony. We have that only by using our will. So if there is any suffering in the world, if there are problems in the world, if the rains fail, if there's poverty, if there are, you know, the calamities, if there are chaos, if there are all sorts of wars, etc., it's all our own karma. We can contribute for our own destruction, we can contribute for our own suffering, we can intelligently live and maintain our harmony by contributing for the universal harmony. What is the way? Living a life of yajna, worship. How? Living a life of yajna, living a life of karma yoga. Over here he says, yaha evam pravartitam chakram na anuvartayati. Yaha, in this world, in living this life, a human being, he who does not follow this cycle, whose life is not in conformity with this universal law and order, within the realm of which here everything functions, yaha na anuvartayati. One who does not understand this, one who does not follow this cycle, which means one who does not live his life in conformity with dharma, one who violates dharma, one who disturbs the universal, no, law and order, such a person, he says, aghayuhu. Aghayuhu means what now? He's a life of sins. He's a person of life of sins. His life becomes a sinful life, aghayuhu. The whole span of life becomes what? Sinful life. Why sinful life? Who cannot follow this life? One who does not live a life of karma yoga is the one who, you know, really disturbs the order. One who disturbs the order means why? He does not live a life of karma yoga means he does not know the value of it, importance of it. Which means he does not know the importance of living a life of dharma, karma yoga. Because he does not know the value of knowledge. Because he has no purusharthan ischaya. There is no commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. He may not respect Shastram. If there is respect for Shastram, if he understands Shastram, is exposed to Shastram, he studies Shastram, then he can't help going against Dharma. That is why Satsangaha means being with the Shastram is the only way to put you in the right track. Always you are told, dharma, 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 anushtanam, always you are told, reminded. Always reminded of your moksha. Always reminded of how ephemeral everything here is. And how you're always reminded how Paramatma is only eternal thing. And how you're always reminded of how to make your life absolutely successful and meaningful and complete. Otherwise, how your life will be, in spite of all your accomplishments, how it is a waste. It becomes a waste. always reminded of the bitter facts. Okay, therefore what happens, one, that's called satsanga. When you remind of it, reminded of the facts, no intelligent mind can deny the facts. If we are like on buffalo, then we can't really, buddhi doesn't, nothing goes in, that's a different thing. Any intelligent thinking mind has to see the facts, understand, see through the facts and really accept the facts. Once you accept the facts, you cannot, there's no denial of facts means, and you live, you make effort. That is why we are superior. This whole Shastra teaching itself is only for us. Because we are the people we need. Because animals do not harm. They remain steeped in total ignorance and remain blissfully ignorant. They born blissfully ignorant, live blissfully ignorant, they die blissfully ignorant. So they don't need, they do not really violate the harmony. Understand? Somebody was telling me about this milk, how milk is, if we really know the story of the milk, how we get the milk in the cans, and we'll all stop drinking milk really. Isn't it? There is a lot of violence behind, lot of hurt involved. And then the cows, how they're treated. Everything, if we really hear the story, we'll all become, even I started, already started. Slowly starting, isn't it? Because milk is so, because we all grew up in milk, cow's milk. Pure cow's milk is so important for us in India. That's how we grew up. That's why with life without milk, very difficult for us. But here, when we hear how we get the milk here, there the milk we get is something freshly milked from the cows. There also slowly some packets are coming up now. But here how we get, even the same story people told me in Australia. And there actually some children who went and saw the farms, they came back and narrated the whole thing. The way they narrated, it was really, 2 days it affected my sleep. And then I can say, and then somebody was reminding. Okay, anyway, what I want to say here. This is very important for us to be conscious. Otherwise we are like stones. We are very important to be conscious of what it means by living a life of dharma. What it means living a life of life, which contributes for universal harmony, ecological harmony, and understand and live that life. Commitment must be there to live that life. Conviction must be there, to live that life. Only we can live that life. Otherwise, there's no Purushartha Nischaya, there's no Shastra acceptance, there's no Purushartha Nischaya, there's no way. And Artha Kamas become the ultimate ends, and one cannot really think of the value of Dharma. And if you do not think of the value of Dharma, even if you cannot live a life of Dharma, and there can't be proper attitude also. Karma will be improper, then proper. Attitude also will not be proper with without the proper attitude. When you perform improper actions, all tamasic, adharma involved, isn't it? Actions like an animal, then what happens? You accumulate what? Only papam. That is why aghayuhu, this person's life becomes life full of sins. Aghayuhu. Then Indriya Ramaha means he revels all that he wants, but he is like any animal is given to the enjoyment of sense pleasures. This person also is totally given to the enjoyment of sense pleasures. He does not know a greater pleasure, that he can enjoy than this sensory pleasures, the time-bound sensory pleasures. Indriya Ramaha, which means he's like lives like an animal. Indriya Ramaha, such a person's life, do you think is a meaningful life? Do you think is a complete life? No. The whole life is a waste. It's a vain. Saha mogham jivati. Hey Partha, he lives in vain. Saha mogham jivati. Such a person who lives his life all the time, what are you here for? Go out, eat with friends, come back, drink, eat, go earn, meet people, enjoy. What enjoy? People always say we have to enjoy in life. who says who should not enjoy? The whole life is for enjoyment only. And on one particular day you have to go out for enjoyment. Every fraction of second you can enjoy your life. You see, life is enjoying already. Isn't it? What special enjoyment? People, I don't understand really what they mean by say enjoyment, isn't it? Which means, enjoyment, no, don't work, eat, drink, smoke, go out, have gala time, and completely be indisciplined. Keep awake overnight and dance, drink, whatever you want to do. That is the life, because that is why people do. I tell you, every human being is basically, you know, potentially divine. That is not a human being. Everything here is potentially divine. But still, why, in spite of being blessed with all this, the common sense, the knowledge of right and wrong, in spite of being blessed with the willpower, still the person's life become life of sins. This person's, agayuhu bhavati, then saha indriya ramaha, that person is only, he lives a life like an animal means. For him, there's no anything more than that. Enjoy pleasures. Sensory enjoyment of sensory pleasures is the ultimate end for him. Such a person's life, what does he achieve? You know, that life becomes vain. Therefore, saha mogham jivati. So here he tells the actually consequence of not living a life of karma yoga. See, Krishna, really what he emphasizes in these verses, please see, understand what is life, what is yajna, what is living a life of worship. Understand the significance of worship, understand the performance of, significance of performance of rituals as worship. You know, then understand the value of dharma, understand what it means, you know, performing actions with Ishwarpana Buddhi. Understand what it means by saying Prasada Buddhihi. So understand a life of Karma Yoga and live a life of Karma Yoga. That's the only way you can uplift yourself. There's no way. You know, if you have to elevate yourself, there's no way. A sudden elevation is not possible. Overnight elevation is not possible. You have to really elevate, get yourself elevated gradually, isn't it? By managing your thoughts, by living a life of dharma, a karma yoga, a worshipful, conscious, alertful life, and then see that you become mentally pure and steady. See that you are, your life is not disturbing the universal law and order. Really, it is in harmony with universal law and order. See that you be given a pursuit of knowledge, be with the Shastram, and see that you really understand, be committed to the Shastram, study, understand, attain Jnanam, and discover the freedom that you already have. Make this life a meaningful life, not aghayuhu, isn't it? May not be a maghayuhu. Therefore, make this life a meaningful, complete one, a successful one. That is what is implied in this verse. Now we'll go to the next verse. Yastvat marati revasyat Atma triptascha manavaha Atmanyevacha santushtaha Tasya karyam na vidyate. So Krishna, having discussed the significance of karma yoga, by presenting it from four different angles, karma yoga as an order or commandment, karma yoga as worship, then karma yoga as the purifying factor, then karma yoga as dharma. Dharanat dharma ityuchyate, that which sustains everything is dharma, as the order, the universal law and order. Now, Krishna also discussed the consequence of, not living a life of karma yoga, by showing that how that person's life become a life of sins, and life becomes, he's just, he lives like an animal, just for the enjoyment of sensory pleasures, and how his life is a waste, he said. Now, Krishna is going to talk about the wise person also. Which means, who is the one who does not need to do any action at all? Because why he's talking now, see, very clearly he's taking step by step, Arjuna. Arjuna, you have to do karma. For what you should do karma, he said. Not for the sake of doing karma. Do karma for your mental purity. For preparing yourself for jnanam. That he made very clear. Now he says, even, now we are going to say here, who is the one who does not need to do any karma at all? Who is the one who does not need to do a karma? Wise person. A wise person does not need to do any action at all. But in still, a wise person has to do karma. Still, he performs karma. That he is going to say later on. Wise person need not perform any action at all. But still, that wise person is performing karma. Has to perform karma. Isn't it? In order to, what now, set an example for others, that he is going to say later on. But in this verse, he first introduces the wise person. You know, saying that how wise person need not do any action at all. Yaha tu atmaratihi. Atmaratihi, atmaratihi means the one who revels in oneself. What does it mean? Reveling in oneself means what? Yastvatmaratirevasyat. Yaha tu atmaratihi. Atmaratihi, atmaratihi means the one who revels in oneself. Reveling in oneself means what? Yastvatmaratirevasyat. Atmatriptascha manavaha. One who is satisfied with oneself. See, one who revels in oneself is the one who is satisfied with oneself. Means Atmatriptaha Yastvatmaratirevasyad Atmatriptascha manavaha Atmanyevacha santushtaha. Atmanyevacha santushtaha, one who is pleased with himself, one who is happy in himself. Means one who is not dependent on anything external for his happiness or fullness. One who does not see inadequacy anywhere externally outside. One who does not see smallness anywhere outside. One who does not blame the world for anything. One who does not find fault with the external world, external things or people, anything external. One does not find fault with anything at all. There is no such a thing called find faulting at all on the part of a wise person. Why? Because he does not dependent on anything external, people or situations or happenings for his happiness. Why? Because for him, fullness is his own swarupam. The real nature is fullness. Because he discovered the self, he is the one who has discovered his swarupam being identical with Paramatma. Therefore, one who sees his real nature being fullness, therefore, he having discovered fullness, being free from the sense of inadequacy and smallness, there is no sorrow also. He is free from sorrow, he is free from sense of limitations, therefore, he is happy. He is happiness himself. The happiness can never search for happiness outside. The unhappy person can search for happiness. The happy person also can search for happiness or more happiness. But the happiness cannot search for happiness. Isn't it? Why? Because for a wise person, happiness and self are one and the same. Why? Meaning of the happiness is what? Fullness. Fullness and self for him the truth of I, the reality of I is consciousness, Brahma. Therefore, for him, the reality is the truth of I. Therefore, for him, fullness and happiness are not different from his truth, from himself. He is the reality, his swarup is the reality, his swarup is happy, his swarup is fullness, his swarup is limitlessness. There is no wrong perception of the self. Therefore, there is no erroneous notion about the self. There is no sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I. Therefore, this person revels in his swarupam of fullness, atmaratihi. Because he revels in his own swarupam of fullness, atmatriptaha, there is no dissatisfaction. Isn't it? Satisfied with oneself. Is it? The dissatisfaction with one's own self is the cause for one being dissatisfied with anything in the world. Okay? And now, Atma Triptaha, Atmanyeva Santushtaha, which means he is happiness himself, therefore he is happy within himself. He is not dependent on anything external for his happiness. Which means he is not made, there is no need for him to make any effort to change the world for his happiness. The ignorant person always makes efforts, which is a vain effort. Why? He makes effort to change the world, change the situation, change the person, change the behavior. By trying to change everything what is outside, they seek happiness. Isn't it? And the such people's effort will be always vain efforts. Because this person, the one who is fullness himself, and he is Atmanyeva Santushtaha. Such a person, being free, because he is independent of the world for his happiness, tasya karyam na vidyate, there is no, the one who is reveling in fullness is the one who is free from sense of inadequacy and smallness centered on I. Being free from the sense of smallness and inadequacy centered on I, he is free from all the emotional needs. He is free from emotional dependence. Understand, there is no way of becoming free from emotional dependence unless and until you discover the fullness being your own swarupam, which is a fact. The Shastram repeatedly says, as long as you are emotionally dependent on the world, external things for your happiness, then you will be what? You are a slave and you will continuously be unhappy. Because the world can never satisfy you, because the world doesn't have the capacity to satisfy you. You have to see that you must become, that's what is called independence is what? Freedom. You will be dependent as long as you see yourself as inadequate, small individual. Isn't it? As long as this problem is there. Therefore, when you see yourself as fullness, and you there's no inadequacy will resolve in fullness, smallness will resolve in fullness. Where there is fullness, there cannot be inadequacy and smallness. Fullness and inadequacy, how can they coexist? Is it fullness and inadequacy cannot coexist? Where there is knowledge, there is fullness. Where there is ignorance, there is inadequacy. Therefore, the wise person, where there is wisdom, there is only fullness. Where there is fullness, there is no inadequacy, there is no smallness. Therefore, there are no needs. Therefore, there are no desires. What happened to the desires? Desires have gone away. We saw in second chapter in Hari Jnani's Lakshanam. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apav pravishanti yadvati tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakamakami. All the diseases, he did not drive away the diseases, give up the diseases. All the diseases have gone and resolved into him. Like what? Like the water which goes and becomes one with the ocean. you know, which doesn't become bring about any change on the part of the ocean, which does not disturb the stillness of the ocean, bigness of the ocean, does not make the ocean bigger or smaller, isn't it? Which means the ocean is ever full. Similarly, this wise person is what? For whom the truth is known, his own Swarupam is known, the self is recognized. For him, there is fullness, there is no smallness, there is no inadequacy. Therefore, along with that problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I, the needs become resolved, and the desires become resolved, all the likes and dislikes also become resolved. There is no like for anything in the world, there is no dislike for anything in the world. Why? Because there is no dependence. If a person thinks, oh, this is the person because of whom he is responsible for my unhappiness, then I have dvesha. The situation is responsible for my unhappiness, I have dvesha. This person is because of this person's help and support, I am happy, isn't it? Then this person is what? No. I have raga. Attachment or liking is towards something. If I think this is a source of happiness, if I see external situations, people and things as source of happiness are responsible for my happiness, then I have raga towards those objects and people. If I think the other people are responsible for my unhappiness and sorrow or sad, then they become objects of my hatred. Then I have hatred. Raga or dvesha are possible only if there is dependent. If I think the world is responsible for my happiness or unhappiness. Isn't it? Therefore, this person is what now? Is completely free. He does not depend upon the world. He does not see the world anymore as source of happiness or unhappiness. He sees the whole jagat as his own manifestation. Therefore, there is no raga or dvesha. Diseases are gone, isn't it? No disease. Raga dveshas have gone. Because the raga dveshas have gone, there is disease are resolved, no karma is required. I tell you, any performance of action is always impelled by the desire. Understand? This person is free from raga dveshas completely. Wise person is free from the hold of likes and dislikes. Therefore, he is free from the hold of anger, jealousy, hatred, all the emotions. He is the person of absolute purity, absolutely pure-minded. For such a person, karma is not required. Why? Karma is not possible. In fact, karma is not required. Tasya karyam na vidyate. Understand? Who? Now you can tell me, who is the one who does not need to do karma? Tasya karyam na vidyate. Kasya karyam na vidyate. Who does not need to do karma? Who? The only one who is free from the hold of ragadveshas, all other emotions for good. The one who has absolutely pure minded. Who is the one who is free from emotional needs? Who is free from emotional needs? Who is independent? Who is independent? Who is free from the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I. Which means the one who revels in fullness. Who is the one who revels in fullness? The one who has discovered his Swarupam being fullness. Nirevet tan Swarupamaha arindavanukku kurai illai. Kurayattavan veligil kurai kaanan. You know, teva illai. Therefore, what happened when there are no needs? I didn't say anything. Okay, only one sentence I said in English, Tamil. Therefore, there is no need for him to do action. Understand? Tasya karyam na vidyate. Therefore, Arjuna, now you are not a wise person. Only for such a mahatma, there is no need for him to do karma. Otherwise, you have to do karma choicelessly. Somebody asked me the question. You said, oh my God, he asked me the question. You said everything is, you know, all our actions, you know, everything governed by gunas, actions are governed by gunas, then who is their choice? As said, we have no choice about doing karma. We have choice over karma. You know, whether to eat dokla or pulihara, there we have different choice. You know, guruvayur payasam or this, we have choice. But, you know, but should I eat at all? You can avoid today, but not all the days, isn't it? If there is no choice about eating, you have choice over eating this or that. Like that, you have no choice about doing karma, but there is choice over doing this karma or that karma. Understand? Why? Because, therefore, Arjuna, who is the one who does not need to do karma? Only a jnani. Only a wise person. So you ask this question, am I wise or not? Am I jnani or not? The very question you ask when? You are a jnani. If you are a jnani, you don't need to even ask the question, isn't it? Am I wise? A wise person doesn't need to ask, isn't it? Then you can decide what you should do. Then you have to do karma. You are not wise, you are otherwise, therefore better you do karma. This is what is Krishna's teaching to Arjuna. Krishna's mentioning, jnani does not need to do karma. Who is the one who does need to do karma? Please remember this. The one who is free from the hold of desires in the form of raga dveshas, and the desire caused all other effects such as hatred, anger, jealousy, fear, insecurity, anxiety, everything. All this will resolve and only in if a person discovers fullness. Not inside also, outside. He discovers fullness as his very nature, swarupam. Why? Because, why a wise person does not need to do karma? Naiva tasya krite nārthaha. Na krute neha kaschana, na chasya sarva bhuteshu, kaschidarthavya pashraya. Tasya means that wise person, for that wise person, kritena artha naiva. Okay, by performing an action, he does not, performance of action does not, you know, need not make him happy. No, why? Is already happiness. Kritena artha na. Kritena artha means there is nothing gained for this person by performing action. Nothing lost also, nothing is lost for that person by not doing an action. He says, na akrutena kaschana. There is no gain for that person by performing an action or by not performing an action. Akrutena na artaha kaschana na. Kritena artaha kaschana na. Why that person performs action? But he does not perform an action, it is the same for him. There is no gain, there is no loss. Performance or non-performance of actions does not contribute for his gain or does not contribute for his loss also. Kritena. If we do something, there is something, you know. We have punyam, something we have. There is nothing for him. Then, nacha asya sarva bhuteshu kaschid arthavyapashreha. There is not even little of dependence on the part of a wise person. No, on anything in this world or any being in this world. Understand? Vyapashreha nasti. The wise person is really, is not, you know, there is not even little of dependence on anybody or anything, any situation for him. Artha kaschid artha vyapashreha nasti. There is no dependence at all. Emotionally, this person is absolutely free. Kritena artha nasti, akritena artha nasti. Why? Because nothing in the world can add to his happiness. Nothing in the world can reduce his happiness. Fullness, isn't it? In the fullness of ocean, with reference to ocean is water. Addition of water does not improve or bring about the change on the part of the ocean. Reduction of water through evaporation summer seasons does not make the ocean small, which means the ocean is ever full, it is fullness. Similarly, wise person, you know, his swarupam is fullness, which means nothing brings about any change on the part of his swarupam. Nothing add to his happiness, nothing disturbs the nature of fullness. I mean, that nothing brings about any sorrow or sadness there. Nothing can disturb the fullness, the nature of the person. Therefore, there is no dependence for him. Understand? Therefore, see, until jnanam, as long as there is ignorance, there are natural emotional problems, and as a result of which there is dependence, and the dependence is love, you know, dependence is bondage. And here in the wake of knowledge, you do not attain fullness. Just the knowledge itself helps you correct the error in your perception. Just by correcting the notion, wrong notion you have about yourself, no, without driving away anything, everything resolves. That is why here the problem is all the so-called the spiritual teachers, the so-called religious heads, always they make you think, give up that, do that. No, they were saying, they add more guilt to you, to understanding. In fact, already you are guilty. Are you not guilty? They add more guilt to your understanding. Why? Because whenever you say, no, here, see, these problems are very natural. Jealousy, don't feel bad, very natural. Do you feel bad when you get headache? Our common cold, don't feel bad. Natural. Jealousy is natural. Envy is natural. Hurt is natural. Guilt is natural. No, anger is natural. Hatred is natural. Confusion is natural. Insecurity is natural. Fear is very, very natural. What is unnatural here? Everything is natural. But they when they are there, you can't be comfortable. They do affect your comfort. You're being comfortable. They cause discomfort. That is why it affects the easiness of your, you know, disposition. That is why it's a disease to have them. But how are you going to become free from them? No, absolutely you can free yourself from the hold of them only in jnanam. Nahi jnanam sadrisham pavitramiha vidyate. It is the knowledge wherein they all will resolve. You do not destroy them. They only resolve. They will resolve. But in ignorance, they'll all be there. Therefore, this wise person is the one who does not make any foolish efforts to chase away anything. He got all of them resolved. Therefore, he is free. Therefore, he revels in fullness. That reveling in fullness is the absolute real luxury. So, this person has the real luxury of reveling in fullness in the wake of knowledge of his swarupam being fullness. For him, there is no karma. Why no karma? Free from ragadveshas. Are you free from ragadveshas, Arjuna? Don't need to do karma. you have a lot of ragadveshas, which means what? You have all sorts of problems, natural. So try to resolve the problem, resolve them. But now Krishna is going to say, therefore what should you do? Even the jnani who is free from the hold of disease, who is reveling in fullness, he does not need to do any action. But you are not a jnani, Arjuna. You still have lots of problems. You still have to become wise. You still have to have antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naischalyam. Then you have to pursue jnanam. Then you have to attain jnanam. Therefore, what should you do? Begin to do karma as yoga. Tasma dasakta satatam. Hope you're all with me. Are you? Okay. Tasma dasakta satatam. Karyam karma samachara. Asakto hyacharan karma. Paramapnoti purushaha. Tasmat, whenever this tasmat comes, therefore, it implies, see all that which has been said above, therefore. Therefore means what? This is how everything is. Therefore, karyam karma samachara. Hey Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, may you perform properly your duties, you know, which you have to do. May you do what needs to be done by you properly. Karyam karma samachara tasmat. Samachara means what now? May you perform your duties, what needs to be done by you as a prince, as a kshatriya. Know your varna, know your ashrama, know your duties, know your role play. Do what needs to be done by you in conformity with universal values, with proper attitude, as an offering to Bhagavan, with Isharpana Buddhi, and with readiness to, without any anxiety about the future results, because with readiness to face any result as prasada, with this readiness to accept everything with sameness of mind. Understand? Karyam karma samachara. He says, next line, asaktaha karma acharan. Hey Arjuna, performing your duties, you know, how asaktaha. Asaktaha means living a life, living, performing one's actions as yoga with the proper attitude is what the karma performed without attachment. Understand now what it, performing karma without attachment. Asaktaha. Saktaha means with so much of attachment, isn't it? Asaktaha without attachment. May you perform your karma without attachment means, don't get confused. Now please understand Krishna, what Krishna means by the word attachment. Performing all your duties attentively, wholeheartedly, enthusiastically, as an offering to Bhagavan. Everything you need to do, see it as an offering to Bhagavan. Then you will be enthusiastic. Then you will love what you need to do. Whether you like it or not, you know, you do it with what now? Once you love, you learn to love to do what you need to do. Isn't it? Why? You can love doing what you need to do if you see it as an offering to Bhagavan. You can see it as an offering to Bhagavan only if you know that you are living this, you are doing this karma to live the life ultimately to discover your fullness. Therefore, performing your actions without attachment means performing your actions with the proper attitude in conformity with dharma as yoga. So, attachment-free action is equal to performing action as yoga with proper attitude in conformity with dharma. Don't get confused. The word attachment always brings about a lot of confusion. Attachment, oh, with attachment means what? Whenever you hear this word from Shastram, oh, be without attachment means, immediately we think of, see your children, think of your wife and the husband, the money, the wealth, assets we have, how can I leave them and go away? This is, who said? Leaving them and going away is not attachment. It's a frustration. Whenever you leave something, you leave anything and you go away, you're frustrated. In fact, then really a person who understands the art of living in terms of Shastram, in the light of Shastra teaching, you will not alienate anything in the world. You will not be dependent on anything in the world. You will just be with whatever is with you. You can be without anything which is not with you also. Understand, we miss when things are not with us, or we long for things and then things are not with us, or we try to run away, or try to alienate. I tell you, the trying to alienate, trying to leave things and going away is your own problem, not the problem of other person, other things which you want to leave. Always, it is a fact. Whether you like it or not, this is the fact. Understand? So here, there are attachment. So, karma asaktaha karma acharan. Any human being who performing one's duties, okay, in all his different roles he has to play, how? In conformity with universal law and order, in conformity with universal values, dharma, as yoga, with proper attitude, is what? Performing actions without attachment. Understand? In fact, being dependent on karma phalam for your happiness is attachment. As a karma yogi is not dependent on the fruits of actions for his happiness. That is why when you live a life of karma yoga, you are performing actions without attachment. Understand what is attachment? Being dependent on fruits of actions, or being dependent on anything other than the people or results of actions for your happiness, then it is attachment. Karma yogi, when he performs actions, is he dependent on the fruits of actions for his happiness? Tell me. No. Why? Karma yogi is not dependent on fruits of actions for his happiness. Why? Because he already knows very well happiness is swarupam, which is own swarupam. He has to be discovered. Then he is committed to the pursuit of that discovery of the self being happiness. Therefore, he is very clear. Happiness is not in fruits of actions. He is not a foolish person, isn't it? Karma yogi is an intelligent person. He knows there is no happiness in the fruit of action. He knows there is no happiness. Happiness is not something which can be attained as a result of action. Therefore, he knows the fact that happiness is not in anywhere. Happiness is not an external thing. Happiness is not a fruit of result of action. Therefore, he is not dependent on the fruits of actions for his happiness. But why does he perform actions? To live his life. Is it? Why does he perform actions? For antakarna shuddhi and naishchalyam. Why does he want antakarna shuddhi and naishchalyam? Because he wants to prepare himself for knowledge. Why does he want knowledge? Because that is where happiness is. Therefore, understand. See one line, you have to understand very clearly. Purushaha paramapnoti, a human being accomplishes the absolute end, the mokshaha, the freedom from limitations, the everlasting peace and happiness he accomplishes. How? By living a life of karma yoga, by performing his actions as karma yoga with proper attitude in conformity with dharma. Is it clear? Okay. asakto hyacharan karma paramapnoti purushah okay karma naivahi samsiddhim astita janakadayah loka sangrahamevapi sampashyan kartu marhasi okay so here this is the verse with which Krishna concludes the teaching of the main teaching of karma yoga so he is going to talk about again why wise people also need to or wise people also do perform actions later he is going to say now he begins here see he has already said only a wise person need not perform any actions because he is free from the hold of raga dveshas but any ignorant person has no choice about performing actions because he is still bound by his own likes and dislikes and raga dveshas helplessly isn't it now he says but even though wise person need not perform any actions still there are wise people who performed actions no still wise people need to perform actions they need not perform but still wise people perform actions why therefore what about you Arjuna before wisdom in order to prepare your mind for wisdom knowledge you have to perform after wisdom also attaining jnanam also you have to perform actions there is never a time there is no such a thing called remaining simply without performing actions even if the government is willing to give you benefits okay there is no such a thing now even then you have to go to this council office sign get the money go to the shop buy things buy come cook and eat and then go to toilet so all karma you have to do even then there's no such thing called simply sitting all the time isn't it that is agayahu all the no see rim physically being young energetic healthy enjoying benefits you can take them for agayahu indriya ramaha people of five full of sins and indriya ramaha understand therefore now he says karma now he is talking about great kings like you know there were great people great administrators means they were kings a king means what an amount of responsibility the king has now you can understand his position the responsibilities the department he needs to look into for such king one of such kings is what Janaka we have also the other people we can think about but here Janaka he mentions and people like Janaka and who lived as great administrators they lived a life of karma yoga in the sense they're always highly involved totally involved in performance of actions and still such people became wise people jnanis he is mentioning karma naivahi samsiddhim astita janakadayah loka sangrahamevapi sampashyan kartu marhasi జనక ఆదయః ఆదయః మీన్స్ ఆదయః స్టాండ్ ఫర్ మెనీ అదర్ పీపుల్ నౌ ద మెనీ అదర్ పీపుల్ లైక్ జనక జనక అండ్ సో మెనీ పీపుల్ లైక్ హిమ్ జనక ఇస్ ద మోస్ట్ పాపులర్ కింగ్ జనకాదయః సంసిద్ధిం ఆస్థితాః సంసిద్ధి మీన్స్ ది అబ్సల్యూట్ సక్సెస్ what is absolute success for a human being? There is no greater absolute success than discovering the freedom, you know, which is already there. There is no greater absolute success for a human being than discovering one's own swarupam, being fullness and happiness. Vasamsiddhim asthitaha. They accomplished the absolute success of moksha. How? Karmana eva. Not by simply sitting without doing anything, escaping, running away from one place, trying to go, searching for the Himalayan caves and all that. No, karmana eva, being wherever they were, not going anywhere, performing their duties, doing what they need to do, karmana eva. But not, they were not simply doing their karma. They were doing their karma as an offering to Bhagavan, as worship, as yajna. You know, therefore, with the proper attitude, they performed their duties, and by living such a life of actions, life of activities, life of contribution, by such a life, they accomplished the absolute success, moksha. And then, even after that also, after attaining jnanam also, they continued to perform actions. Why? Because loka sangraham eva sampashyan kartum arhasi. Hey Arjuna, even if you become wise, okay, even kings like Janaka attained moksha by living a life of karma yoga, but even after accomplishing jnanam, what you need to do is what? Loka sangraham eva sampashyan kartum arhasi. Wise people also, as a wise person also, you need to perform actions. What for? For the welfare, for the well-being of the society. What is the well-being? Because it is very important for the one to set an example, to be a role model for others. No, you have to be. Because other people who see you, who are still ignorant, and they need to see the whole life. That's why Mahatma's Charitrams and all, when we read the biographies, we don't need to read afterwards. Biographies become what now? The dead history, is it? You have to, when you're living, you become a role model. Because one Swami used to say, Paramatma used to say, it is not just audio lessons. It is audio visual, always has is more efficacious, isn't it? Much more efficacious. That is the wise person's life, when he lives his life, then it will have an audio visual effect. So that he sees you living your life. Therefore, you will get a role, you become a role model for the person. So, loka sangraham eva api sampashyan kartum arhasi. So, there is no such thing, isn't it? Because that is called Bhagavan's vibhuti. No wise person will ever think, I am wise, I know everything, I am free, I am fullness now, I don't need to do anything, I will care for the world, let the world go some anywhere. What is an example? What should they do? Such a mean buddhi will not be there, isn't it? Because that is why loka sangraham eva anupashyan kartum arhasi. So please, Krishna tells, what is the final lesson you arrived at? The performance of actions is not required for a wise person who is free from the hold of ragadveshas. But even wise person performs actions for the well-being of the society, and therefore we'll see the how and why wise people perform actions. And Krishna includes himself there, and we'll see those verses, the next topic. Okay. 20, first two, actually 25, we have 24, we have these four verses talking about the wise person. Then we have other topic comes again. We have two more topics to be covered here. We covered only two topics here, isn't it? At least an important topic, Karma Yoga, you know, the as presented by Krishna, is it? From different angles. So you understood, and what is Karma Yoga for, and how Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga both are sequentially to be followed means for accomplishing Jnanam, Moksha, of knowledge ultimately. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.